Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to have a nice conversation with Matt Maher, the singer and songwriter who's coming to perform for the Gift of Hope concert. We caught up with him as he was traveling on the road and hope you'll stick around to hear that interview with Matt. Jean Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Brianna Wingen with the first and second reading. Father Tim Smith with the gospel.
A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, God delivered all these commandments. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery. You shall not have other gods besides me. You shall not carve idols for yourselves in the shape of anything in the sky above, or on the earth below, in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down before them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, inflicting punishment for their father's wickedness on the children of those who hate me, down to the third and fourth generation, but bestowing mercy down to the thousandth generation on the children of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave unpunished the one who takes his name in vain. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days you may labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. No work may be done then either by you or your son or daughter, or your male or female slave, or your beast, or by the alien who lives with you. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that you may have a long life in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male or female slave, nor his ox or ass, nor anything else that belongs to him. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block of Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are called Jews and Greeks alike, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves he said, "Take these out of here, and stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord.
Now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, Bishop Paul Swain recently greeted the candidates for reception into full communion with the Catholic Church during the rite of election. The rite occurred on the first Sunday of Lent at the Cathedral of St. Joseph in Sioux Falls. Catechumens and candidates attend the rite as part of their journey toward full conversion and acceptance into the Catholic Church. You can read and see more about the rite of election in the March edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In a kind of a related item, it's brought order out of chaos, meaning to a life that had become dry and mechanical and a closeness to Christ that Chelsea Proms could not have imagined. It's the rite of Christian initiation of adults entering into full communion with the Catholic Church through months of classes and prayer that culminates with baptisms, confirmations, and first communions at Easter vigils in parishes across the Archdiocese and the Diocese of the United States, in this case, the Archdiocese of Omaha. It has opened my eyes to seeing that God is always present, Prom said of her growth in faith as she prepares to join the church. He loves me. He is my first love. He's given me a way of life. I can tell that by living through him, knowing he is at my side. Father James Keeter, pastor of St. Boniface Parish in Menominee, Nebraska, where Proms and her husband are members, said Proms is one of three people he is helping prepare for full communion with the church. Her husband, Jeremy, also is attending the classes. She's on fire, such a genuine joy as she learns about the faith, the priest said. Accompanied by her husband, Proms and about 470 others took an important step in the process of joining the church at the rite of election with Archbishop George J. Lucas at St. Cecilia Cathedral in Omaha. The Catholic bishops of Alaska have released a pastoral letter affirming that all Catholic moral teachings stem from the foundational belief in the dignity and sanctity of every human life. From this starting point flows the Church's emphasis on the importance of upholding marriage as between one man and one woman, the rationale behind robust religious freedom, the role of chastity in human relationships, and the Church's teaching on sexual orientation and gender identity. The 5,000-word letter is titled Living in the Image and Likeness of God, Human Dignity, and Divine Designs. It's signed by Anchorage Archbishop Paul D. Etienne, Fairbanks Bishop Chad W. Zielinski, Juneau Bishop Andrew E. Belisario, and retired Anchorage Archbishop Roger L. Schweitz. It was released on Ash Wednesday. Archbishop Etienne said the letter came about as part of the Alaska bishops' discussions on how to best exercise their roles as teachers. There are a growing number of social issues today that need to be addressed from a faith perspective and yet require more than a soundbite to adequately outline the theological principles which underpin our beliefs and teachings, Archbishop Etienne wrote on his blog the day of the letter's release. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Hard to teach theology in soundbites.
It is.
All right.
Thanks, Gene, for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Matt Maher, who is, of course, a well-known and well-decorated Christian music artist, songwriter, worship leader, all of the above. And he is coming to join us in the Diocese of Sioux Falls later this month for the Gift of Hope concert. Matt, we're very excited to have you coming to the diocese.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be coming.
I know that you end up seeing a lot of this country. You've seen a lot of the world, actually, at this point, as you share your music with others. You actually have been in the diocese at least once before that I'm aware of, maybe more than that. What's it like for you to find yourself in all of these different places?
I think for me what's been amazing is to see the ways in which, I mean, truly the faith is universal. So, you know, the things that we believe and the things that we profess, we hold it in common. But I think it's amazing too, is it just to see, like, I mean, a lot of the struggles that we face are very much are similarly the same thing, you know, regardless of background and, you know, diversity. I think everybody is in this day and age struggling to retain a sense of identity and, wanting to belong to something that's bigger than themselves. And I think it's also amazing just to be reminded of how, you know, big God is.
Yeah.
And I think when you're traveling a lot and you're seeing this enterprise and seeing it all kind of work and stay connected, it to me, it's evidence. It's evidence for God's hand.
Yeah, beautiful. You are coming to the Diocese of Sioux Falls performing for the Gift of Hope concert, which supports Catholic Family Services and the work of Catholic Family Services. I expect that you end up doing a lot of that sort of thing as you go to different places. You end up supporting local ministries, which means a whole lot to those of us on the ground here. But I suspect it has impact on you as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I, you know, very politely have said to Jesus about a year and a half ago, you know, Lord, if I'm going to be away from my family, I need to know that it's making a difference. And nights like this night, you know, that's always the biggest takeaway that I walk away with, is that, you know, these are, honestly, these are the nights that I, you know, why I do what I do. I think that, you know, I think art is, I mean, obviously I love music. I love the role that it can play in sort of providing a soundtrack for redemption. But I think redemption isn't just something that happens to the soul. It's a, I think it's a holistic practice that affects every facet of a person's life. And so many of the, I think, the outreach and family-based ministries, I think that you find in the church, they really focus on that. They focus on, you know, I think the redemption of the whole person. And so you know, I know if I go into heaven and there's a crown in my jewel, it's for nights like this night.
Amen. we're grateful that you're doing it again. March 24th, Matt Maher going to be in the Diocese of Sioux Falls performing at the Harrisburg Performing Arts Center, and it is a benefit for Catholic Family Services for the Gift of Hope Fund. Matt, you, of course, have that personal experience yourself as a longtime minister, worship leader in a Catholic parish. You, in a sense, probably have a different perspective on this kind of work, on ministry, in a sense, because of that personal experience that you've had.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you work at a parish, you know, every parish, regardless of its zip code and where it is, can will sometimes attract different, you know, snapshot of individuals. And I think especially, you know, when I worked in Arizona, the parish I was at, St. Tim's, we really saw a real diverse group of people, each family with very specific needs. And some of those were spiritual, some of those were material, some of those were emotional, some of those were financial, some of those were almost, you know, sociological in a way. And I think that that, once again, it goes to show that I think the you know, faith is not just having a positive moral outlook. I think it transcends that and goes into much, and that's important, but I think it, I think usually when you have that kind of character development, I think it leads into, redemptive work, which stretches across the entire facet of who a person is.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the areas that Catholic Family Services works in significantly is dealing with issues of loss and of grief. It's actually has a within its works a center for grief and loss. And I know for you, at least in the last year or so, that has been a real a part of kind of what you've needed to do in terms of expressing yourself is dealing with your own loss and your own grief over the loss of your father. So I find this, you know, the timeliness of this coming together, if you will, kind of maybe a Holy Spirit thing, you might say.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think our parish that I worked at, we had a grief and bereavement ministry. And so it wasn't just people who helped kind of plan the logistical side to a funeral. It was really understanding the process of grief and of letting go and expressing emotion and working through things that you have to work through. And it's so important. I think in the life of a Christian, and the ability to have to grieve, you know, it's a necessary step of life. And I think especially because of the day and age in which we live, you know, lots of people wonder whether or not the times in which we live are more traumatic than in previous generations. But one thing is certain, and that is that our ability to read about someone else's grief has been exponentially increased. And we don't even really think about how that can affect us. So I think even this night and being able to, even for me, you know, especially on this tour right now, promoting this album, there is a part during the night where I talk about my dad. And, you know, it's like some nights I come off the stage and, the concert's over and I have just warm, bittersweet memories. And other days, it's hard because there are moments, I think, especially with my kids. I have moments with my kids, and then I'm always, my first thought is, oh, I can't wait to tell dad about this. And then it's still a little bit fresh.
Mm-hmm.
But that ministry, yeah, it is so important.
Yeah. I'm grateful that you are willing to share that through your music. And again, it's a way I know for you to in a sense, deal with your own emotions, your own grief. And through it, I think it teaches others how to do it as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're not alone. And I think a lot of people, we don't even necessarily, it's a weird thing to learn how to process grief with God being present in the midst of it. I think a lot of us want to process grief on our own. It sounds funny, but even people who go to church sometimes are like, well, I'm just going to go deal with this and then I'll talk to God. And, Jesus says the healthy don't need a physician, the sick do. And that kind of trauma in life, it has a way of breaking you,
mm-hmm.
breaking you down. And I think God definitely, you know, why he took on flesh and walked among us, because he kind of wanted to roll up his sleeves, step into the middle of everything. Not just the joys and the great moments, but also the pain and the struggles and the grief. And, Jesus wept when his friend Lazarus was dead. And I think that just shows a side of the compassionate heart of God and his willingness to walk alongside us as we grieve.
We're talking with Matt Maher, who is coming to play for the Gift of Hope concert on March 24th, the benefiting Catholic Family Services and the Gift of Hope Fund. Matt, how has being a parent and father now influenced maybe your writing a bit? And you talked about being away from your family, and that obviously that's a hardship that you have to endure to continue doing what you love doing. But how has all that play together in terms of your family and your desire to pass on your faith to your children?
When I was younger, he didn't really think I could make a living playing music. So he never talked completely negatively of it, but I think it's because my dad really wanted me to go into politics because I shared a passion for that, like him. But I just love music too much.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I think now being away from my children, it honestly, it really gets exponentially harder. Like as they get older, my youngest now is 2. And when I come home, he will have learned, like, I'm only gone for 4 days, but I'll come home and it's like his vocabulary's gotten better. And, his pants don't fit him as well. And so, it's just like little indicators that he's growing fast. And my oldest is 6. He'll be 7 in August. And so I think that you know, my dad, when I was my son's age, actually, yeah, right around my son's age, my dad owned a seafood restaurant, and he worked 80-hour weeks. And I never really, I didn't notice during the week how much he was gone, because on the weekends he was around. And it's sort of the inverse for me, in the sense that, like, I'm gone on the weekends and I'm home during the week. So I think that the challenge, and I think any parent who travels for a living could tell you this, like if it's somebody who's in sales or somebody who works for a company and they travel. I mean, it's so funny. Like, I meet parents who travel way more than I do, and they're gone for longer periods of time, or, you know, or they travel just as much. But I think the challenge when you have any sort of kind of vocational work like that, or the, just the work that makes you get on a bus or a plane and go away for 4 days, is just trying to stay connected, I think, to the vision and the mission of your family. And then I think staying connected to your children, you have to be present with them when you get home. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I'm still growing at, for sure.
Well, as one who's been a father for a little longer than you, I'll tell you, you keep working at it, and you just try to do the best you can as you go along, and somehow the Lord provides, and it works out.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly so. And Matt, I want to talk a little bit about you and your unique position, if you will, or at least it seems to me sort of a unique position as a Catholic in the Christian music world. There's not a lot of you in that status. How is that for you? Are there any challenges that come with that?
I think I came along in an interesting time in the history of Christian music, but also just in the history of evangelical Christianity in America. You're in South Dakota, and South Dakota is almost like mission territory, in the sense that it was, you know, the church there is younger, and than like the deeply entrenched South and or the Northeast, you know. And I think that growing up in the South, a lot of other Christian artists and musicians just were never exposed to Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they were, unfortunately, some of the Catholics that they interacted with were, well, it's not unfortunate. It's just they express their faith, which is so our faiths are, can be very, very, very different. Mm-hmm. Sacramental life is a way different practice of faith than just, you know, than just reading your scripture, reading the Bible, and, you know, being in a non-denominational church and praying with your friends. It's a different practice. I think that there's a lot about the gift of evangelical Christianity that I think that Catholics actually desperately could learn from. I think in terms of just, I mean, so many of so much of the devotional spirituality that is in the legacy of the lives of the communion of saints. When you read how those saints related to Jesus, it sounds more evangelical in the sense of how they talk about their relationship with God. It's not something that was necessarily like impressed upon me as I was a young man. Nobody told me, hey, you should have the same kind of relationship with Jesus that St. John of the Cross did.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting, because I think that's why the communion of saints exists, is that somehow our relationship with the Lord becomes more intimate. At the same time, like I said, I think my music came along at a very interesting time, where a lot of the mainline denominations in Christianity have withered in attendance or in sense of necessity. So even in places like the South, there's fewer and fewer Baptists. There's not fewer and fewer Christians per se, but there's fewer and fewer Baptists or Methodists or Anglicans. I think in the 70s and 80s, the 80s especially, there was, you saw the emergence of kind of non-denominational big churches, and but my music was influenced probably by three things. I think the charismatic renewal, because that's how I started practicing my faith again, by being in a parish that had music of all types. So we were singing hymnody, we were singing some chant, not a lot, but we were, but you know, the value of it was expressed. But then there was contemporary music was being encouraged, you know, as long as it was appropriate for the Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And what that did was that created this foundation in me. And then when I started listening to Christian music, I had an outlet. And so I think my music just came along at a time where, I think people were just more open. And I think over the past 10 years, as I've traveled, so many divisions have decreased in importance, I guess, because we're just faced with larger cultural issues. Well, and the world is hurting. And I think that, you know, there's a line in the book of Ephesians where it says that Jesus came to reconcile all things to himself. And I think we're supposed to, I think that's the work that Jesus wants us to be involved in. And I think when you're doing that, it's really hard. You have to pick and choose your battles. And I think that I just realized if we're all singing together, then we can't yell at each other.
Amen. It's a great place to leave it, Matt, and we look forward to hearing you talk more, and obviously to share your music with us at the Gift of Hope concert on March 24th. Matt Marr, thanks so much for being with us this morning. Gene, here we are rolling right along in Lent. It's moving
fast.
Hard
to believe that we're a couple weeks into Lent already. There's still plenty of times to make an important sacrifice and make progress.
Absolutely. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving.
Amen.
That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We'll be back next Sunday.